You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com. If you have a women's ministry within your church, I wonder what it gets up to. Maybe there may be time to fellowship, perhaps around food and drink, some Bible study, perhaps talks to help those gathered be better Christians. While this is all well and good, today I'm joined by someone who is able to challenge women to do a whole lot more in their community, and not just the church. Her name is Letitia Shelton, and she heads up the charity City Women and City Free from Porn. She's author of Still Fighting for Our Daughters and the Disruptive Women series, and is based in Toowoomba, west of Brisbane, close to Australia's east coast. And I'm delighted she's able to join me today. So what was your journey into faith and leadership, Letitia?
Yeah, look, it's been a very simple, I guess, if you can say that. My dad's a pastor. He's 80, still working full time. Growing up in a Christian family, so I think I just morphed into a Christian at some point, but remember making a decision at 7, being baptized at 10. But I've grown up in a great family where my parents have always sought to find out what are our gifts and what are our passions. As you know, I'm one of five children, and as Dad says, he's had five opposites.
God
creates us all differently. And once we all kind of hit teenage years, they wanted to discover what God has really placed within us and give us opportunities. And they could certainly see that I was someone who liked to lead, that people would respond to. So I was given positions, not just in the church, but leading overseas mission groups involved in our city. I was a school captain when I was at school. So, yeah, it's just kind of been, everything's been very natural and organic.
Good stuff. And is that in the same area of Australia?
Yeah, but I'm still living in the city where I was born. I've come and gone to a few other places and now probably spend half of my year traveling and speaking and helping other communities, but still in, when I'm at home, this is where I was born.
Good stuff. So I understand it was the local mayor who challenged a women's group to get involved in issues affecting women in the city. So perhaps you could take up the story.
Yes. Now, this is back in the early 2000s. I had just returned from the USA, where I did Bible college for 3 years, and come back to my city of birth, Toowoomba. And I was, a pastor in our church, but the mayor spoke. We had quite a lot of unity happening in our city where churches were working together and looking at how we could reach our community. And the mayor challenged a group of women and she said, "You ladies are doing great things inside your churches, but why don't you get outside of your church and do something for the young people?" She is quite a rough and tough lady. After she resigned, she went on to run a pub in Tasmania, but had a huge passion for young people, couldn't work out why the church was just busy inside church walls, you know. So she gave us a bit of a bomb, the F-bomb, literally, and challenged us. And, you know, she's right. You know, why are we just stuck inside? Why is so much of our church activity for the church when we're actually called to pastor a city and bring light and hope? So we took her challenge on board, myself and a few other women, and we thought, well, let's do something. And we have school chaplains in all our public schools. So we worked with them to take away 20 girls, totally unchurched, 20 girls from different schools, and we took them on a weekend away. And, that was quite an amazing trip.
And as you did so, of course, you got to know the girls and got to know the kind of challenges they were facing?
Yeah, look, again, it's just easy to grow up in church world, but I remember that first camp that we ran, five girls sitting around the table with me all talked about being sexually abused. And we got to the fifth girl and she just looked at me and said, "We've all been abused. We need help." And I really felt like the voice of God come down from heaven and say, "Come on, church. There's a cry in our city. Do we have ears to hear the cry in our city, or are they drowned out by our noisy prayers and songs and Christian activity? Are we actually, you know, if we asked our community, is the church known for listening?" It would be a very interesting response. We're known for what we like to say, but not to listen. And I heard a cry that night that then set me on a journey to mobilize women from all different churches across our city into the pain of our city.
And you had a degree of unity, you said, and those were around sort of shared values or shared beliefs?
Yeah, the pastors, which were predominantly male, were gathering each Thursday morning, 40 to 50 pastors. Now, there were a spattering of us females, and I was attending when I came back into the city. And so, yeah, it was easy to gather the women. Our shared values, Jesus died and rose again. That's really important when you're working together. You can sit there and have arguments over theology and this and that, but I don't think women argue about those things or discuss those things half as much as men do. But our shared value, Jesus died and rose again, and we have a city in pain that needs healing, and we're God's plan A.
Right.
Pretty simple. When you keep things simple, and, you know, we went on for 20 years just gangbusters, and I don't ever remember even saying to a woman, "What church do you go to?" Like, we just couldn't care less half the time. We built amazing friendships, you know, with people from all different churches, all different backgrounds, and we're richer because every church has a bit of Jesus that my church doesn't have. I'm sorry to say, but your church does not carry the fullness of Jesus. We're a body.
Sure.
And we forget that. We think that our part of the body is going to accomplish everything. How arrogant, how evil, how sinful that attitude, but we need one another. And the quicker the body comes together, the faster you move and the more you see accomplished for God's kingdom.
And so you'd had the challenge, you'd identified the needs of these women. What was the next stage? Did you need to fundraise at some point? Did you, you know, what was the stage next to actually serving?
Look, that camp was kind of the impetus that, you know, challenged me as a pastor in the city to pull together women. And then we just began to go, well, what else is happening in the city? You know, we realized there were a few other ministries. Well, they all needed resources and volunteers and support. And so we said, well, let's work together. Let's support each other rather than compete against funding and fighting and whatever. And then we began to see areas in our city that we weren't working in. We realized we had no pregnancy support center, and 70% of abortions happened because there was no support. So who's got a passion for that? So it was, again, so organic and so easy and simple. Yes, there were we've had to do a lot of fundraising along the way, but it's amazing when you have a vision just how people give and how God provides has been an absolute incredible journey. Within those first few years, some old women from the Uniting Church decided they did want to fundraise. So we called ourselves City Women. And these old women came to me and said, "We want to do a cookbook fundraiser." And I thought, oh, gosh, you know, that's so yesterday. Don't we just get our recipes off the internet? But if that's what they wanted to do, I wasn't going to stop them. And they put together this amazing cake cookbook. And they raised $27,000 from this one cookbook that really helped us launch. I don't know what that is in pounds, sorry, but it's a lot of Australian dollars.
sure, absolutely, yeah. From that base, the kind of things you're able to do to support women?
Yeah. So, yeah, things again, we just kept seeing needs. Suddenly we found out that our state government decided to legalize brothels, that we needed a brothel in our city. So I'm in a city of about 150,000 people. So it's not huge. So our government put a brothel. So, okay, well, let's find the women who are going to go and love the sex workers. Then refugees, our nation, our city, took in more refugees in 1 year than the whole nation of New Zealand. So suddenly we had all these people from the Yazidi people from Syria and Iraq. They began arriving in our little white conservative town. So again, we started an organisation called You Belong, because our job is to welcome the aliens, isn't it? So we wanted to let the refugees know, even though you look very different, you belong. And many of them have come with high-level trauma. They've been raped by ISIS, decimated, genocide. So welcoming them in and loving them. The foster care system, like it is in your nation, is absolutely broken in ours. So how could we mobilise Christians into that area? So, yeah, it was kind of just as we kept moving, people would come and say, I've got this passion for this area, and then we'd start something new. I don't run everything. And some things have stopped because that person was no longer available to run it. And so it's organic. Everything alive in God has a beginning and an end. It's a bit like a garden. Things come up and then they, you know, it's, I think we, this is where we get so institutionalized in the church, where we start something and keep flogging that dead horse for hundreds of years to come, and it ends up doing more harm than good. So there's something beautiful at just acknowledging the gifts in people, who's around, what we can do and what season. Some things are seasonal, some things last for longer. So, yeah, it's been a great journey of just looking at what are the needs and how can we help.
Letitia, in my introduction, I talked about your city free from porn. That was another project that you were involved with, which I understand reached the ears of others who also were concerned about that particular area.
Yeah, and that is something I did start myself, because we were running these camps. So the mayor, who challenged us to do something for the young people of our city, we ran one camp, but then 18 years later, we were still running them. And a big part of these camps was helping girls heal from their abuse. Huge sexual abuse in our nation is that, as there is everywhere, and I began to realise that pornography was driving a lot of this abuse, because boys were becoming exposed at a young age and they want to act out what they see. You know, a lot of porn comes from child-on-child sexual abuse, but also adults as well. So, we had a different mayor at this time, now a male mayor who had a real passion for women and their issues, and he came alongside of me, and we together ran City Free from Porn, just to raise awareness in our city of the harms of pornography, what it's doing, how it affects all areas of our life. So we have been, every year we kind of do a major big event in our city. We just don't do it in the churches. And people say, why don't you fix the church first and then go to the city? Well, our call as Christians is actually first to our community. We're to seek the welfare of our community. And when you do that, you'll be blessed. So when you reach a city, the church is part of the city and they get impacted as well. They're invited. And so we were running these rallies outside of town hall once a year with the mayor, and getting huge media, to the point where I did get a call from the president of France, his assistant, who they had seen through the media of what we were doing, and asked if we could come and help. It was just about elections for him, and they said, well, we'll just get through elections, but he never got in. But I felt like God say to me, you want city free from porn? I want nations free. And now I spend a lot of time in the nation of Fiji. It's just a little South Pacific island off the east coast of Australia. And I'm a part of their government board to ban porn for children at the moment. So we're working on a nation there. But, yeah, look, most normal people are waking up to the harms that pornography is doing to men and women, families and society.
Well, Letitia, it's wonderful to celebrate what you're doing, what God's doing in and through you. What do you think might prevent women in other towns and cities from engaging in their local area in serving those who need it?
Yes, I think a lack of especially for Christians, we don't always understand our cities or actually know, as I said, know the pain. A couple of years ago, my organisation, City Women, we hired a bus and put a whole bunch of female Christian leaders on the bus, and we did what we called the underbelly tour of our city.
All right.
We live in a beautiful city, but we took them, to the illegal brothels. We took them to the police station to hear some stories. We took them just around our city to show them and to hear from different people who seen the darkness of our city. And even though these women were pretty involved in their community, again, they were just shocked. So I suggest for your next Women Ministry night, get a bus and do an underbelly tour of your city and find out what really goes on. So that's just lack of knowledge. The other thing is busyness in the church. I think we keep our people just so busy, and we make them, think that if they're serving and attending Bible study and choir and women's group and prayer meeting and whatever else, that's really spiritual work. But look, there's a part of it. But Jesus, the disciples, they didn't sit in a building to be discipled. No. They actually turned the world upside down. So it's always funny when you hear churches say that they're really into discipleship, but you don't see, nothing's been turned upside down. So I think, the lack of understanding of our cities and our theology to reach our cities together with other churches, and then the busyness that we have in our churches, but also just our busy lives too, I think. We're very busy people, aren't we?
Well, you've had to be available. You've had to prioritize those projects over family, over leisure pursuits, over other things.
Look, I'm single, so that does make my life a little bit more free. I don't think I would have been able to do what I'm doing, so I don't certainly want people to be comparing themselves. I'm really blessed in that I came from a church. My dad was the senior pastor, and he said, and when I was ordained as a pastor, he said our role is to pastor the city with other churches. And at first, for the first few years, I was more or less involved in my own church. But as things began to open up, my church paid me full time to be out in the community.
Sure.
They actually released me from the in-house church stuff that keeps pastors so busy to go out there and mobilize the church of the city. So I consider myself incredibly blessed that I've grown up in a church that thinks biblically, actually, yeah, and outside the box, and has released me. Because so often our churches, you're trying to build the pastor's vision. But again, my dad has said, as a pastor, his job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's what I've sought to do in my own city with the women. What's in your heart? What's your passion? And how can we make that happen? So when you turn things upside down, it makes it a lot of fun, and just work smarter, not harder.
Well, it's wonderful to see someone taking Ephesians 4, ministries of the church, to equip God's people for works of service. That's the aim of one of the aims of leadership, of course. So great to hear. I mean, Letitia, all this takes energy, and there's a spiritual battle involved. I'm wondering how you remain fresh, refreshed. You've been doing this for some decades now. Give us some insight into your own kind of rhythms.
Yeah, I love to cycle, so I'm a mad cyclist. In fact, this year I'm cycling my bicycle 6,000 kilometres across the USA to raise some funds. So that's a huge challenge, but I love that. So having hobbies is really important to keep yourself fresh, I think. The physical, because, we're a whole being, aren't we, not just spiritual. We're physical, we're emotional. Having good support people around me. But making sure that you have a lot of fun, even though a lot of our work is quite heavy with abused women and the vulnerable, but just within our teams, having a lot of fun is really important. In fact, some of my team are like, why are you always playing these silly games or laughing or joking? Because joy is part of God's kingdom. So having fun within the midst of it, and just not getting too tied down. I think the other thing is learning that I'm not responsible to change people and to carry the burden. You know, you can hear all these stories and sit with all these broken people, and you do and you listen, and it does weigh down. But at the end of the day, it's God's responsibility. I'm just his vessel, but I can't make people or make anything change. So I think finding freedom in that, that I don't, you know, I'm not out there trying to get numbers or bums on seats or this or that. You know, if people start asking me about numbers and like, it's just this is generational change. That doesn't happen overnight. And so I think just releasing yourself of the pressure that we put on pastors to perform and show this and that. And I've done many sessions at conferences on all our failures because we've had plenty. And that's important as well. That's all part of the journey. So, yeah, they're just some keys that have helped me along the way.
Letitia, there'll be women listening to this who perhaps have been inspired. What would be their next step, their next action to take?
I think so. If you're inspired and want to get out into your community, look around and see what's out there and where you can get involved, who else, there's other people in your community or your church, your city that have the same passion, just begin to talk share these ideas. Women, we coalesce very fast, and it's amazing how God has put similar things in different hearts, and you just need a friend and get going.
you make it sound remarkably simple, but in a sense, our conversation, I think, has reflected on that, that as you see the need and as you see God's potential, as it were, or what God could be doing, then you follow that, and that's been terrific to appreciate and understand. So thank you so much for all that you've shared. Perhaps you could say a prayer at the end to for those who are listening who could perhaps take the next step.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but let's pray. Father, thank you for this conversation that we've been able to have. I thank you for the people who are listening right now. I pray that you'd stir their hearts to hear your voice, to see what you see in their community, to have hearts to listen, ears to listen, God, that, that where we might need to change our schedule or our priorities as leaders and particularly church leaders, Father, I pray that we'd have the courage to do that. I pray that your church would rise up in our communities to bring hope and life and love. And God, that you would give us courage too, that we would not bunker down in fear at the issues of the world, but God, that we'd rise up and that we would be the ones who do turn the world upside down. So I bless everybody who is listening to this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Letitia. Really appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Andy.
It was lovely to chat with Letitia Shelton. She heads up the charity City Women and City Free from Porn. She's the author of Still Fighting for Our Daughters and the Disruptive Women series. She mentioned her work on the island of Fiji, and I see she has a book entitled Disruptive Voices of Fijian Women. Her books are available on Kindle via Amazon, so you can get free samples and check them out before buying. You can read more about Letitia and her story in Premier Woman Alive magazine, available in print and online, womanalive.co.uk. The city she grew up in and serves in is Toowoomba, west of Brisbane. Her approach seems so wonderfully simple. It starts, of course, with having women who are united and keen to see the love of Jesus known. That simple idea of Jesus died and risen is a pretty simple unifying belief, but one that has certainly galvanized many. It needs people to have compassion, of course, for the place where they're based, knowledge of the needs, and a willingness to do something. I loved her comment that discipleship is about turning things and turning the world upside down. Too often we see it as something inside the church, when in the ministry of Jesus, it was giving your life away for the sake of others. And she and her women are doing just that. I love too her comment that she trusts God to do his work, and she doesn't get unnecessarily stressed and anxious about what she is doing or isn't doing.
That's a great recipe for longevity and leadership, casting your cares upon him because you know he cares for you. This show is about supporting people in a leadership role, but also the invitation God gives all of us to be of influence where God has placed us. So may God give us eyes to see the need and the heart to respond and the energy to be Jesus-like in our actions. If you know of people who are making a difference where God has placed them, then do get in touch with me and suggest potential guests. Or if you're wrestling with a leadership issue and are looking for wisdom, again, please get in touch and we can perhaps base a show on your dilemma because you can ensure that if it's a problem for you, it will be a problem for others too. So it's been my joy to have you along today and I look forward to you joining us once again next week. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.